Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter. Wow. Thank you. And once again, my name is Andrew Fetter. I'm host, of course, of When Pigs Fly. Before I want to get into a lot of issue things, I will first, of course, want to talk about, the coming holiday, of course, for many people who follow the Jewish faith. I want to wish you all Chatima Tova, which in literally means signing of your name in the Book of Life. But it has a lot of ramifications, including the understanding what actually Yom Kippur. I know it's been misnamed as to call the Day of Atonement in the literal meaning, but it does have its relevations to everybody. It's a day that it's supposed to be more of a healing day, though it's considered more of a fasting and all that stuff, which is more broadcast. It is a day of forgiveness. It's actually a day you forgive yourself and others, and you ask for those, even you're supposed to call those people who you may have hurt or done something you may have done or whatever you thought, whatever, and ask them for forgiveness. It's a day to release your anger, your pain to the ones, to your loved ones, and you do it within, of course, with love and forgiveness, which is sort of very interesting because here I had a show just recently and I even did a replay of it with Mary Elizabeth Yoder, founder of the AC Foundation, who deals with that very issue of forgiveness was part of the healing experience. And please check out her site, thecay.org foundation. Because it does have very deep consequences of helping those who are, we've all been, had lost ones. Everybody's had somebody either passed away or know somebody who has passed away. And this is strictly also for helping children, but siblings and parents and grandparents and, everybody has their issues when dealing with lost ones. I want to, again, wish everybody out there, not just those who follow the Jewish faith, everybody a Chatima Tova, and great blessings. And, of course, you heard in the beginning of my intro there, that was, of course, incorporated with the song called Blind from my dear friends at Masonic Temple. And, by the way, they will be coming out to the United States permanently, thank God. And they'll be coming out here, I heard, in December, January-ish. And they will start beginning a tour, hopefully. And I'll get you posted on that. Do check them out at myspace.com/MASTM. Of course, the song that you heard incorporated in my intro was from their album, Follow Me. I want to talk about some future shows that are coming up and quick announcements, because I do have a very, very special guest I want to get into. On October 2nd, which is next week, of course, I feel honored to have, once again, Carrie Feza, who is an astrologist and intuitive. And, of course, she's going to tell us the coming events. I have her every 3 months, of course, whether it's the equinox or whatever, of the fall, summer, and all that stuff. Tell us what's happening in the astral and the cosmic forces, and it gives a good impression of what is coming to unfold. And, to listen to her past shows, it's very astounding how she's been quite accurate. And on October 9th, now this is really I always have every guest I have is special. Ruby Freeman of Ruby Freeman and Orchestra, and she's going to be on my show on October 9th. She is probably one of the highlights coming out of L.A. She's opening, so where is that? She's opening up for you, too. She's presently going to be, by the way, if you're out in L.A., she's having a show on the 30th of September, and that's, I think, 8:30 at a real bordello. It's called a bordello. It's an old bordello. It's not really used anymore as a bordello, okay? At 901 East 1st Street in Los Angeles, California, of course. So check her out, but I will have her on. And then I got in touch with, actually, we were gotten back and forth. I had a past guest who I've told you about in the past. I remember Phil Koseski. He is a real contactee with the Orions. I've had him on my past show back on February 27th. Do please check that out. He's coming on again, like I said, October 16th. So circle that. You do not want to miss. He has actual sightings. He has his actual contactee. You can also check out his blog site at orionresearch.blogspot.com. And you'll definitely want to hear this show. There has been skeptics who have come up there, and when they see what's up there, they're sort of blown away with the little triangle shape ships flying around. And, of course, in December I will howl with the California Girls, which I will be playing, of course, at the closing of their song. And, got all these announcements here, huh? I will have two signing events in Las Vegas on October 17th for, of course, my latest book, The Heretic. On October 17th at 1 p.m., which is a Saturday, at Borders in the Town Square Mall on the Strip, which is at 6521 South Las Vegas Boulevard. And I will be also in the Summerlin part of Las Vegas on October 24th at Barnes & Noble, and that's at 1 p.m., and that's on the in the Crossroads Common Mall, which is 8915 West Charleston. Again, that's Barnes & Noble. And got all these announcements, huh? And I just want to let everybody know, give me a holler. Tell me what you think and what's up. Comments, whatever, flyingpigs@artlover.com or at myspace.com/AndrewFetter. Always open to comments, whatever you get, what's on your mind, what's happening. And, of course, I know you guys are all checking out what's going on with our health court thing here in the United States, the public option. I guess we'll hear that vote sometime today. Now, I have a very, very, very special guest today. She is an author of three books. She is a metaphysician, meaning she deals with metaphysics. She has helped numerous people, and I'm not talking a couple hundred, thousands of people to help develop their dreams or whatever through health, success, spiritual connectivity, financial abundance. She's helped people with, including kids as well, through her private practice. And she is just highly educated as far as knowledge and wisdom, and she's used it in such a positive form and in her own facility and in a non-selfish way has disposed of her energies to help many, many, many people. She's also helped people who are like indigent who have no money or also living on the streets and homeless people. I believe she is in her own right a human angel walking on our planet. And with that, I want to welcome Siobhan O'Connor Moran. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for that lovely introduction.
You're welcome. You know, I got contacted, I guess, like through you or from your assistant, and then I was curious, and then I've heard a little bit about you actually being in the L.A. area, because I do go back and forth there, sort of a back-and-forth person. And I was sort of rather surprised about, you know, where you were and being so non-selfish and stepping out from that realm, that you could just easily probably climbed up the corporate ladder, and instead of using your knowledge and abilities in a narcissistic way, you took your abilities and helped benefit and help people in their own right. And people look at it more on materialistic, but I think that was more like the carrot, getting them people to the right direction in a way. I don't like using the form of carrot, but sometimes people think that way. But a lot of people out there don't know who you are. So can you please go give us a little bit about your background of how, where you you're coming from, maybe a little bit from a little of your history, and then how you came about on your path of from the corporate world to helping people at L, as they call it in the legal terms.
Exactly. Well, you know, I was in the pharmaceutical industry, and I was, in my brain, I was going to be one of the first, one of the few women, one of the few women presidents of a pharmaceutical company. So I was pretty driven and A-type personality. And I loved my job. I was having a blast. I love creating companies and, you know, getting them sold off. And I always worked with companies that had high ethics, although I had a challenge with some of the products and you know, too many people being addicted to those products. And about that time, one of the companies I was with, they had a management shift, and the energy started feeling strange, and then my body started getting sick, and I ended up in the emergency room. And I had what's called septic blood, which is my blood was poisoned. And apparently, from what they tell me, I'd been walking around with that for about 7 months. And I was kind of a walking miracle, considering that usually kills people. And then I decided that I needed to figure out how to get healthy. And I decided to take my own interesting course on finding my own healthcare provider, because the provider that I had made all these mistakes, according to me and my brain. And I found a great physician who supported my decision never to take drugs. And they supported all of the things that I wanted to do holistically. And I didn't even know that there was this whole other realm out there of healing and health. And, you know, I had never even had an acupuncture treatment or even a massage, for that matter. And so I started exploring these natural modalities, and then I heard something on the radio about how energy applies to logic. And I actually grew up as a computer programmer, and so that started to intrigue me. And then I took the course, and I experienced a few things, and I thought, oh my God, here I am, this, you know, this executive, and there are all these, you know, Qigong masters and all these other energy people in the class. And I thought, God, if I can do this and all these people are doing it, then everybody on the planet should have access to this. And it started me on this journey of wanting to tell people and teach people how to take care of themselves energetically. Because effectively what I had done is I had depleted all of my energy and my body got sick.
Wow, so you just basically through a transform, you just, it's basically got, you went from going through the era of very, you know, standard medical stuff, and then you went to a whole, I guess you can call it alternative or natural or holistic approach toward your health, which opened a path toward you to, I guess, where, I guess you're going to get into right now, where leading you to more of your spiritual kinship. Is that correct?
Yeah, I had always been a spiritual person. That's, you know, that's just part of how I grew up. If you're having a problem, pray. If you're sad, give food away. If you're sad, make somebody laugh. You know, that was kind of the philosophy in our house. But when it came to, you know, corporate and moving from there, I just saw that I wasn't living the way I really wanted to live, and I saw the benefits of using energy to help the body heal itself. And so I would accost people on planes and at the, you know, like the mailbox place, and I'd say, hey, I just learned this thing, you want to try? And I would just accost people everywhere, and I kept seeing result after result after result. And I thought, everybody needs to have this. Every person on the planet really needs to have access to this technology, because all it does is empower you as a human to affect healing and health in your own body. And so it's led me on this journey of intense healing and very deep spirituality and a lot of fun dialogues about spirituality and all of the different esoteric principles behind it and how energy applies to every facet of how we live.
So how did you, in specifics, how did you go from into like you, because when you say everybody says spirituality, it's such a broad stroke of things, and you're talking esoteric. Is there a certain mechanical path that you led you or you work within? What relationship spirituality, or is just can you give me an example or our audience an example?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'd been searching for meditation since I was 16, and then when I took this one of these healing classes, they said, we're going to meditate, and I looked at the guy, and I said, you're going to get my mind to shut up? I don't think so. And we did this meditation that is focused on the energy heart and the crown heart, and really blessing the earth and sharing back to the earth and really just giving of yourself. And my mind shut up, and a lot of things turned on. I've been able to see things that not everybody can see all my life, and all of these things just started showing up better and more clear. And I remember going home from that first meditation where my mind got quiet, and I thought, oh my God, there I am. I'm as happy as I always thought I could be. Check that out. Everybody needs to do this. And so it started this deep inquisition into I needed to know about why things worked, why energy worked, and why the universe works the way it does, and why certain religions speak in certain ways and they exclude certain things. So it's been, it's been a lot of investigation and implementation in my own life.
Funny, because I hear that a lot of people. I mean, if I had past guests where they had some serious trauma in their lives or something situation, and then they go into a path and they open their eyes up to what their really path is meant to be, which is sort of interesting. It's sort of like the worst situation people can think of all of a sudden opens their eyes to what their real path is, and then it almost sounds like, I mean, that basically you've had it, and it's like this covering was over your face, and all of a sudden your third eye opened it up. And it's funny that you said to the quiet space in your mind, it was basically you got rid of all those the thoughts people have, that running constantly when you meditate. And then when you get that non-thought to the last area, in fact, I was in a discussion trying to explain to somebody who was asking about Kabbalism, and I'm trying to get to the real foundation, which is people look at it as being the receptor. We are like the receptors, and when you get to that very quiet, so you're actually listening to the universe. That's what I meant by listening. And then people tend to get caught in little trivia, stuff like this guy was telling me about cannabis being involved with anointed oil, and I was telling him that's not real important. He's still caught up on little stuff about that have nothing that's real important, and the whole issue is getting... What you are doing is getting in tune and listening in to the universe, who open up the knowledge that you already have that's been there all the time. And it seems that you just open your third eye and your heart, and there it is, right there. And now you're just, carrying it on to everybody else. It sounds quite fascinating that you went through all this whole circle, and now you're right there. I mean, even me, everybody I've known who's gone through certain situations, they've all, it seems like the similar stories but different, it's fascinating to me. And it seems like I think at this particular time and juncture that it seems like everything's coming in hand, which I'm going to get to down a couple questions down the line.
I want to share something, particularly for your listeners, if you don't mind. One of the major openings was a great loss I had in my life very early on. And the only prayer I could think of to say was the Lord's Prayer. And I didn't understand the power of it at the time. And, of course, since I've done all of this investigative work and really meditated and done all of this searching, I actually haven't searched, it just comes to me, but I could say I said that prayer probably hundreds of times in a day during the course of this particular year, where it was really just a very difficult year. And I didn't know that that was just going to open all of everything of me up to the universe to say, yeah, now you can get quiet and do what you're supposed to do.
Can you say the prayer?
The Lord's Prayer, the Our Father who art in heaven? Absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead and tell it, because I'm just curious, because I'm for myself even. What's the prayer? Maybe it helps other people out there to use that's another device for them to help themselves.
And here's something interesting. For years I've been saying it, and finally just about a month ago, we went into the studio and recorded it, and there are two aspects of it. There's usually the above aspect, which I'm going to share in a second, and then there's the below aspect, which is connecting to the Mother Earth. And so I'll just do the half that we all know, which is Our Father, which is above, and whoever your father might be, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, meaning the manna, from heaven. And lead us not into temptation. And deliver us from all, I don't like to say the word evil, so deliver us from all difficulty, challenge, and take us to higher places. I add a few of my own words in it. But I said that just any time I was having a moment, and I was having a lot of moments over that year. And what that does is it's connected to the chakras, and it really activates things to open them and clear them out.
That's interesting. And then you've now, this is going to get into a whole another subject. And I know it wasn't on your on some talking points, but I was looking at, you had a thing, it's called, maybe I'm not pronouncing it, Paramitas?
Paramitas, yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, you use that, I saw that as a workshop for, like, helping people to go through a healing process.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Can you explain the process? Because I know there's several levels of it, and what is, because it's quite fascinating that what you use.
Paramitas, interestingly, came about through years of working with the different thousands of clients, and I was seeing results after results, and I thought, well, I think maybe people should learn this in a particular formulaic fashion, and then they can have the results at home rather than just a few minor things. They can have their own kind of instantaneous healing. And Paramitas came to me when I was flying back east when my mother was passing. And I thought, what the heck? I don't even know this word. It's not even an English word to me. And really what it is it's getting to the other shore. And what that really means is taking whatever it is that you're in, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, or spiritually, and elevating yourself or taking that boat to the other shore. And so the tools and techniques that are in Paramitas are designed to get you out of your mind and the limiting beliefs. They're designed to connect you to the earth and give you facets of things that are in the earth that will help you heal, plants and vegetables and herbs and energies that are actually in the earth that you can access.
The first step is both on the physical aspect as well as the earth aspect, is that what you work with?
Actually, the first place we always go, and the interesting thing about that is you have to get out of the mind. And so we call it Paramitas Mind. So we teach people how to get out of their mind so that what really get out
now,
of
what
their
what do you
head.
Mean? You get into the what they call in Hebrew, they call it the Ein Sof or in Tao, or
yes.
The Tao,
yes,
which is
exactly.
The non-thought. Which is you get into that one stage, you release all those trivia thoughts in your stomach, and then allow the next step, which is fascinating, because it's really, I think, a step to which people need to do, is because they're not listening, they're always talking and yapping, and they need to really listen to the universe, which I think you're by the way, and I know I'm jumping way ahead, but that I think is absolutely very imperative and very fascinating, your approach, because most people on a day-to-day, and your methodology is extraordinary. But go ahead and explain the detail, because it seems like you're connecting both with Mother, the Earth, the physical aspect, your lower chakras to the Earth, but at the same time, you're getting the person to that place of non-sight by just allowing all their trivia thoughts, how do they say, leave the body or leave the mind, so to speak, so you can get into that first stage. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's great. You're doing great. So what I have found over the course of all of these years is that most people love to get out and, you know, fly around in the ethers, yet their bodies will still get sick and their minds will still get in the way, and they haven't really addressed anything. And so you have to be as above, so below. And so Paramitas, starting with the mind, takes you through the getting out of the beliefs and the chatter and techniques to instantaneously resolve that, so you can have that no mind. Because, yes, you can stare at a wall for a long time, and you can do some of these other techniques, yet, you know, it takes 20 years for most people to stare at a wall and have no mind. And, you know, we're kind of a fast society, and I came from corporate, so I like to have results pretty fast. And the techniques are designed to get that no mind place very fast.
So it's like, I don't want to say fast food approach to spirituality, but it's just a quick approach. You know, because a lot of people look like they want instant magic, and there is no real instant magic, but everybody has their own little steps, and sometimes they're quicker steps. But I think you've circumvented and helped get people really quickly with quick results than by doing that. So what's so the first aspect is basically getting to the non-thought while keeping them grounded. Because people, when you go to a non-thought, you can tendency of not being grounded, actually, and almost like pulling out. And so you have a dual process. You're keeping them grounded, and the same token, you're getting them into that state with non-thought, almost like that Tao or Kabbalistical in self or whatever, like Hindu or, you know, whatever approach everybody uses, transcendental meditation approach, whatever you use, but it gets you already there.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, because if you're ungrounded is when actually you can have different things that will come in, different health issues that will come in, different accidents, physical accidents that will happen to you in order to pull you back into your body. So you have to learn how to be grounded as well, and that is part of the Paramitas technology, is being grounded, yet also being out there. And if you look at all of the great sages and teachers, is they have that dualistic state of being able to be in the body yet be out there meditating at the same time.
So now, what is the next step do you do? Like, isn't there like a level two that deals with the body itself? Or?
Yes, level two is about the body, and level two is really about all of the different nuances of the body and understanding how the body plays into its space and place in the universe. So, you know, we're standing on the earth, yet we're not really grounded to the earth. That's one piece. And we're standing on the earth, and we're not paying attention to what's in our environment that can be used to support and increase the vibration or energy of the body. And so really what we do is we go through everything, energy all the way down to earth elements, and teach you how to really understand what's going on with your body, what to feed it, how to support it, how to keep it healthy, how to you know, bear beautiful children, have better relationships while you're in your body, etc.
So, and you use this both on I know it's like from not just on a food level, I understand as well, but also on, you're doing a focusing on your energies, on your body, and a scanning and a visualization of your body and your feet, because you can really all connect it. And it's interesting you talk about, because I know that DNA actually expands, which is like the communicating device, which I don't want to get into the quantum theories and all that stuff. But you also utilize herbs and foods and oils along with, it's like a dual process basically, using both on the physical side but as well as on the spiritual side, correct?
Exactly. Because if we are doing all of these things, then we become a more elevated, vibrant human, which is what, you know, we're touching on here in some of the teachings in the world, but they're not being brought together. And I think it's become my role that I bring each of those elements together all under one roof.
And then, okay, so then, and what, like, can you give me examples of, like, is it depending on the circumstance of each? Now, this is done individually, so, because every individual is different. So your application for this particular model, because it seems like the first one is pretty broad stroke, because everybody, you can pretty much, pretty standardized, get to everybody using the same mechanics. On this one, it seems it's more on a one-to-one approach because it's so individual, because everybody's energies at that time when you're dealing with bodies and stuff is so unique. So you're dealing more on an individual aspect, is that correct?
No, when you learn the body, it's really in a group setting, and the reason it's in a group setting is because the body as an energy being actually has a model to go after. So there is actually a model of the way the chakras and the aura and so on and so forth should and can be in order for one to have ultimate health and ultimate conductivity and connectivity.
Yeah, but what I meant, like, even on vibrational areas, people are always on different vibrational systems. You know, there might be somebody who's really, you know, cooking, and like their heart might be fine, but their, you know, stomach chakra might be messed up, or, mm-hmm. you know, the different areas in the bodies, in their systems, and their vibrationals, because they carry so many lifetime of experiences. And so they're going to have a different vibrations. That's why I was thinking that would be quite unique, that in application you would have to apply individually, even though it's pretty much a lot, you know, you're trying to do the same methodologies, but it seems the approach would be individualistic because everybody has different, let's say, needs, if you can say that, for, you know, adjusting their frequency models and their own vibrational areas, and also their own, you know, everybody's on a different, like, a wavelength as far as abilities to, you know, quickly, some might be a little bit slower scanning and or understanding, you know what I'm saying? It's like,
yes, so there are different, yes, everybody's at a different place. However, the technology is the same, and each person will go through their own journey to get to that next level of vibration that's right for them. Absolutely correct.
So in other words, you use the same methodology, but it's the duration of it is at everybody's individual circumstance, basically.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So it's like, and everybody, by the way, no, nobody's, you know, it doesn't make you smarter or, you know, you have the trophy or first place award if you're faster, slower, quicker. It's just everybody is at a different model. It has nothing, you know, to do with that. And there's a third level that deals with energy. What's that?
Well, and that is to really take the energy of the body, play with it a bit, adjust it a bit, tweak it, tune it, and teach you that with a few, I'm going to say, with a few simple processes to release any fear, pain, worry, anxiety, tension, or stress that's anywhere in the energetic field and or present in that one field or in the relationship or in a family or in a business. It's pretty cool. It's pretty doggone cool.
And then you have like eight total of levels that you do this, correct?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And the last one is really, it's called Shakti, meaning as you go through these, your purification, and that's what the best technologies will teach you, is the more purification you have, the more you're able to tune in, tap in, enlighten, whatever you want to use your words to describe. But the more you will be exactly the energy being that you're meant to be, the divine spark that you are meant to be. And so each of these places, each of the workshops take you through elements of that. So we have to learn how to be in a relationship better, whether it's at business, at home, with children, with parents, you know, in our community, in our state, in our government. We have to learn to be better in our relationships. And it could just be energetically better. And then also, and we also want to learn to be more healthy as business people, even if we're an employee of somebody. As we learn the energetics of business, what we learn is we find out that it all relates to each other, and even in business, and we can have enlightened businesses. So it takes you through every facet, physical, mental, emotional, financial, and spiritual, to get you to that other shore.
So and social and so on and so on. And but I that's pretty interesting, because I mean, most people today are going through a lot of, you know, through the recession and stuff and the material issues, and of course there's the, you know, the employer versus employee aspects and the politics of the day and the fast pace and you know, and culturally where everybody's, you know, drawing from their information. And And there's also the continued blocks in relationship with their parents and family members and friends and stuff like that. It seems like there's you encompass everything as in a relationship, and probably it could, you know, really actually. So it seems like it pulls people right walking toward the light, and which actually can have ramifications. Might, you know, they say throw one pebble in the pool creates a ripple. And if somebody chooses to still walk in the dark, it still will affect them, maybe being just by being around them, to hopefully, you know, change their approach, including if it's a, you know, a malicious employer, let's say, or supervisor. But it helps people deal with, and you know, challenges of the day, which there are certainly are ones. But now, how did you come about this program? Because it's really fascinating how you this is all developed.
Thank you. Well, I started out, I think, you know, I could say, like, I studied, you know, Tom Peters and then in all of the techniques of selling and being positive. And I remember one of my first books being The Power of Positive Thinking or something, Norman Vincent Peale or something like that. And that all made great sense to me, and that's really just about how I lived my life. And then I realized that there were some other hiccups along the way, and then I took and learned this energy healing technology, and I thought, oh, this is really cool. This works great. And then I would see people have that same issue again, and then I was frustrated. I thought, no, we should be able to fix this permanently. There has to be a way to fix this permanently. So I would be in session, you know, early on, and I'd say, okay, so I'm going to invent something. Do you care? And they're like, I don't care, as long as I feel better. And so what I ended up doing is just creating, in the beginning I was just calling it mapping. And so I was just mapping things out and clearing things out. And as we released one road or pathway, then we would create a new pathway, and I would see instant results. And I thought, oh, this is pretty cool. And so a couple years ago I said, you know what, I think people really need to have this in a package. And so I spent about 2 years trying to figure out what I'd been doing for the past 10 and put it all together in a package.
So then, but it seems like it's like you utilize what they call it, it's the change, since thoughts are things, you're basically changing people's tapes, their thought processes, by getting in a very quick form, actually.
Ultimately, it all, you know, it all boils down to energy. Ultimately, and we know it's all about energy, but ultimately everything that we do in the Parameter system is about energy. And as you relate to energy as a thought, as you relate to energy as, you know, a desk or a phone, as you relate to energy in a relationship, as you relate to a group energy, and how to deal with your energy while you are in and or around those things that are still in the process of transitioning. So like you were saying, it's one drop in the pond, yet if you manage your energy appropriately, you can affect great, 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 very fast change, more so than any affirmation or more so than most anything I've seen.
So yeah, because we like every thought, we like a Buddha would say about your thoughts is what you become.
Mm-hmm.
So you're create, because thoughts are, when I say thoughts are things, thoughts are like they're actually the energy that's already every sort of funny how the esoterics are now being proven even by science with quantum physics itself.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, well, it's a full circle. It's sort of funny how science has displaced itself from nature, and now it's gone full circle, and now it's realized, which is what's sort of funny, because Einstein had been saying it for about 100 years, over almost 100 years now, saying how that was the whole point of relativity, but that in looking at aspects of the universe being infinite, and how, you know, now they're finding out in science, like with an energy, they're finding out, you know, so many aspects within DNA they thought were just proteins. Now they're finding it's actually communication devices that actually relate to energy that we do and we process. And when I say thoughts are things, because everything's energy, the fact that what binds your atoms is energy, what displaces space, there's different forms of energy. So that's what the particle wave is. There's a duality of both particle and wave, and the same thing with thoughts, which are, we generate those thoughts out of from our minds, but it originates from our souls, and then we push that out, and that little wave like scans out and it produces stuff, and then depending on the emotional and belief behind it, which is like the direction and acceleration of it, you produce things. That's why when people get angry about something and think something, they can create. They'll literally create that. Like it's like the. I hate to use the word BS bullshit, because I always get. I got to watch my profanity. People say, and you're starting to get too, you know, gutter mouth here. But it's all BS behind where a lot of the people are getting depressed, and they have this cyclic recycling of being almost addicted to being depressed, because they're throwing those thoughts out, and it produces this chemical within their own body by thinking that way. And then when they get all of a sudden happy, because of that addiction they built into their body from that has created that sort of energy, then they feel, oh, I got to get back into that thinking process. So when everything's going good, they actually sabotage their own thing and get that back into that feeling, oh, poor me, pity me, depression thing again. And they're even finding out that even the issues of bipolarism, which psychiatrists is actually finding out it's pure BS, because it's basically more on energy forms again through the thought processes. And this is the problem with, I think, the applications of our modern medicine, which are now coming to being, they're finding, you know, coming to terms with, that they're looking in science from a finite aspect as opposed to an infinite aspect. And when they get to looking on a perspective of an infinite approach, they will get to the understanding of how to fix things and get things right. Sort of like what you're doing, you're utilizing, I believe, an infinite approach to which is looking at how the perspective of what energy is and around us. Not as a finite, but as an infinite. When I say things, people think right away finite, but that's not what I refer to. And by the way, that quote is a famous quote by my past teacher, Jeanette St. Clair. It's sort of funny when I hear that now being said all around. but it seems like that's what you're utilizing. I mean, it seems like you're changing the thought patterns. You're changing people into in a positive form, which is creating that new, because we are energy. You're creating, which is actually, because we go through a lot of karmic events and we confront certain karmic consequences that we've created purposely for challenges, but it allows the person, because now they're in a better thought process, when they meet those challenges, they're able to make better choices because they're now on a higher frequency. It's supposed somebody is like extremely boring, desolate, destitute situation. Well, if you're on a lower model, then you can become a gangbanger, you know. On a higher model, you can achieve with your own thought processes and grow from that, even whatever circumstance. I'm not talking the materialistic side, but also on a spiritual side as well. And I think that your approach encompasses that. And I think that's, you know, magnificent, in to say the least. Now, there's also one thing I want to ask you is I know... And I'm going to start jumping into different things, because I wanted to get into that thing, because I saw that on your website, and I thought it was fascinating approaches, and I think it's quite important. And it's an approach I think many, many people, in fact, need to gather who do not want to, are sort of leery of getting into any spiritual side. But what is your feeling toward how to, within foods? Because I know you talk about foods and how they create stress. And I know I'm jumping to another issue, but I wanted to get that because people, you know, with the foods that we eat, it's been so, you know, pushed in with preservatives and all kinds of stuff, and there's so many elements that what foods, like, and people I know out there are listening, they're going, you know, they have anxiety and things like that and depression and all that, and I told them thoughts are great things, but also foods which carry a certain amount of energy and things that we put in our systems affect us chemically. What foods would you say that cause stress, and what foods would help us relieve that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'll give you an example, and then I'll address the food thing. So I have a client who he wanted to go on a cleanse, so he did a 10-day fast, and he was like, "Oh, I'm so peaceful, my life's so great, I'm so happy, I don't ever want to eat again, this is just amazing, I love it, it's wonderful." And he said, "Okay, now what do I do to get back on food?" So we guided him back into food and eating, and he came into my office and he said, "I'm having a problem." I said, "What's going on?" And he said, "I'm afraid of everything. I've got anxiety, I'm stressed out, I'm worried about everything." And really what was happening is the food was bringing about that feeling. So another example would be somebody's yelling at you and you're in the line, or somebody in front of you is yelling at another person and you're in line and you have fruits and vegetables and all your stuff in your cart. And you're sitting there getting stressed. You're standing there getting stressed out, and your solar plexus is overactivated, and you're worried. And it's like, oh my God, you know, oh shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. And all you're doing is you're worrying about all of this negativity. That negativity from that person who is in front of you is permeating your food. Okay, so we don't really think enough about our food, except when, you know, there are movies like Water for Chocolate, and there are other movies out there, you know, about Italian mothers and creating love in the food. That's all great, but to apply that into our day in and day out living is important. And every time we have a negative server, that affects our food and our mood. Every time we have a chemical in the body that is contradictory to the body's functioning healthy and vibrantly, then our vibration goes down. Every time we're in the summer months, people are happier, they're more free, they're lighter, they're eating lighter fare, and their foods are better. And then you get into some of the winter months and it's heavier and more dense and, you know, more difficult and so on and so forth. And that's because of the processing in the foods. So I learned early on in when I was growing up that I liked eating salads and I liked eating lighter things because it made me feel better. And then when I started applying the energetic principles to it, I realized that every aspect of our food and how it is touched is imperative to how it digests in our system. So if we don't like something in our food chain and yet we eat it anyway, we are placing contradiction in our food and in our system, and then that radiates outwardly. So, you know, I mean, when we were kids, maybe not everybody did this, but when we were kids, we were taught to pray and, you know, give thanks for our food. Well, that's kind of gone away, and we need to incorporate that back in.
Like saying the great thinking for, yeah, the grace for what you got. For
exactly.
The food.
And so what we teach in some of the workshops is also how to clear that out of the food, because if that's not cleared out of the food, then you end up with your system having, you know, gastric issues, and you end up with your system, you know, in contradiction. And yesterday, somebody handed me some chocolate mousse, and I said, "Why is this extra good today?" And she said, "Oh, I got an A on my test." I said, "Ah, see, now you need to do that every day because it affects the food." So everything we do affects our food. Every time we touch it, if we make a face, then that's going to affect our food. Every energetic implication we have affects what goes into our body, and we want to think about that.
Wow, that's like food for thought, right?
Food for thought.
So now I want to know, now you've what do you look into, like future aspects toward not only your program? I know this is going to be a broad question because it's a long question, but like I know what your process of what you're doing, but what do you on what you're doing and what do you feel about futuristically about around humanity as a whole on your approaches?
Oh, well, you know, I'm kind of Pollyanna, so I think that the more we have people that take even one step further in their progress, evolution, awareness about food, the most minuscule to the most major things, that we facilitate humongous changes in our world, in our environment. We create an environment of our choosing as opposed to, you know, what the movies are making us choose or what others who are doing fear-mongering are making us choose. And it's happening. I mean, it is happening. There's actually more positive news than there is negative news. And so...
But it seems they still try to do... There are certain aspects that try to hold on, like, some negativity. Like, I don't want to jump into some, but, like, there's a movie I saw trailers of, and it was called 2012 that's supposed to be coming out.
Oh, I know. I laugh at
and
these.
And it's such a... you can tell whoever created this is so fear-mongering to scare the living daylights out of everybody and create that, which is another thing, because people don't realize when you create that, you're actually trying to amplify that energy. But I don't think they're going to be successful in doing that personally. But
well, you know, here's a way to think about that, Andy, is that enough people say, I refuse to believe that, even if they go to the movies. I refuse to believe that. I'm not going there. That just sounds ludicrous. Enough people say that, then sure enough, it's not going to happen. A prime example would be, and you know, I'm going to go there, but it's swine flu. And people are going, yeah, okay, we're really not going to buy into all this fear-mongering. And it's really not, it's not being what they said it was going to be. So we can affect humongous change with very little positive.
Just like avian flu, you remember that one?
Oh yeah, totally. I was.
We were, oh my God, we're gonna have to get injections. Well, you know what it is. It's like, and I hate to get into the NWO stuff, but it's a lot of hassles. They're trying to. There's a lot of effect. And like, you've got to have flu shots, or you have to get this shot, and you have to get, you know. And it seems like, you know, and then they, oh, and then 10 years later, oops, we made a mistake. We shouldn't have given that. Like I remember. You know, in the old days when I grew up, the old days, I know how old I was, but when we were getting shots for, like, you know, the, as a little kids, you know, against having, child, you know, like, the mumps and different, you know, the childhood diseases things way back when, and we had them individually. And then what they did is they consolidate the pills or whatever the medicine, and then they found out all that stuff was causing kids to be, develop allergies or, what's that, or, you know, what's that one, high rate of, how was it, I don't know.
Oh, autism?
Yeah, autism, and they find a high rate of different things, and then they linked it to the stuff they're giving, hello, you know, because they consolidate it. And it seems to me that sometimes, you know, some things are put out there just out of fear to create people to do things, you know, in a negative aspect. But I personally think, like, in a future aspect, I think, and it's not a coincidence, like what you're doing, and a lot I hear a lot of people are doing, and and it's increasing like tenfold, because our universe is in this realm is really drastically changing. We're realigning our solar system, is aligning up, and all that stuff, which is the Mayan, Kabbalistical, Tao, I Ching, Sumerian, every calendar almost. The druids.
They all say the same thing. That's exactly right.
And it's sort of funny how there's a, and even the Hopis, there's a situation where it's now unfolding. People are either moving to the direction toward the light, or people actually holding on a fear. And I know some people who are really good-hearted people, but they are so afraid. because they've been inducted into it. And then they grasp onto old concepts, whether it's what the clerics have told them, whether it's the priests and Catholics or mullahs of Islam or rabbis or pastors and, you know, the old school, and they're trying to hold on. And I think it's going to come in revelation. They're going to be pretty soon hit in the face with, hey, you know what? This isn't what is really going on. And I think as things manifest, there's going to be, instead of 100 people, changing thousands of people. And it's going to start really unfolding where I think more and more people are going to become more exposed and more enlightened. And, you know, but there's still people are going to make those choices, you know. And unfortunately, those, you know, you can't do. And what you're doing is, oh, here's a door, and here's another door. And all these people are throwing ripples out there and almost like life rafts. I don't want to, like, call it life rafts because it's not saving their lives. But it's opening up doors for people. There's more opportunities. I mean, it seems like at a constant rate, and I've never seen such a, in the last 3-4 years, it seems like such a constant rate.
I've been doing this stuff for 15 years, and it's there's greater awareness today than when I first started speaking about this, and more acceptance.
Yeah, and I think in the future aspect, like I think what you're teaching, and then there's a few other people I've had on past shows, but they incorporate, and I've always said, why don't they incorporate this into part of a curriculum within school? Because I've always said the fundamentals, if you teach somebody self-love and self-worth, and they develop their aspects, we would not have the political systems and the functionary systems, or even this, I hate to say, the pathetic monetary system that we have, which is sort of useless, which we can revolve into a resource system with free energy, because we do have that ability, by the way, and move forward with humanity on a new scale. I mean, it would take away all the pains and sufferings in the barbaric systems of wars and things like that over, you know, playing, the prison planet of this is my land, that's not yours, this is the line, my way is the right way, and other pathetic stuff will be inconsequential. Can't even pronounce the name. Anyway, tongue-tied. But it seems like it would open up doors. Have you ever thought about opening that up to whether private or public schools for kids to help them out?
Oh, absolutely. I have a lot of students that have come through my practice. I would love to take it into the school system because it's simple and it's non-religious and it makes sense. Kids are so much more receptive to all of this than adults. And it just is, you know, it's about making, I take it into the corporate environment as well, because it's really about using language that's safe and practical and that makes sense. And if you do it in such a way that's safe and practical, that makes sense, and yet transforms, then you empower people.
Have you thought about hooking up with other foundations? Like, I you know, it's sort of funny because I had a recent guest on, it's sort of funny how things unfold. I had a recent guest, like, and I mentioned earlier, she has a foundation that deals with helping particularly with children who've lost loved ones, but it's a healing process. They're basically a foundation, and they try to network and bring in other aspects to just basically dealing with that, but it's more like on your terms. Have you thought about incorporating or merging with other networks that or foundations such as hers or other people's to, you know, like, you know, basically... I'd call it the UN of spirituality, okay?
You know what? I'm happy to do that. However, I have just been so enmeshed in all of the things that I've been putting out to the world that those kind of things don't get the attention that they need. But, yeah, if somebody comes to me, absolutely. I'm always open to those things because we need to collaborate. That's the future, is how we collaborate.
Because sometimes they cross over. Because, like, now I know, not in hers and yours, and there's actually a couple other past guests I've had who have, I had a guest on that's up near, I'm trying to remember, it's up near Michigan, I believe, or Midwest, and she was doing the same sort of scenario, and it seems like these people, you guys are all, like, in little different corners, but there needs to be some sort of, you know, drawing and unification, almost like I said, a UN thing. And then that would push forward maybe more of a universal thing that could carry on. Because, you know, it's, as they say, if you have one straw, it breaks. You put two straws, it's strong. And as it gets bigger and thicker, it becomes big, thick, strong rope. And I think that not to create a bureaucracy, but a collaboration, because everybody has ideas and new things, and not just you know, you could help them, somebody their situation, if they have somebody's situation, and vice versa. And I think it would be a great thing to have sort of a universal. I guess I think it is the call it the UNS, the United Nations of Spirituality. I guess we call it.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. But how would people be able to contact you in getting into your workshops or information and et cetera?
They would go to SiobhanMoran.com. I'll spell that S-H-E-E, V as in Victor, A-U-N, M as in Mary, O-R-A-N.com, and just sign up for our newsletter there or register for any one of our classes. We do have some coming up over the next couple weeks. We do a lot of teleseminars. We do a free monthly meditation for the full moon and peace and healing that is actually broadcast worldwide. So we do have a lot of worldwide broadcasts that are available, and you just get notified via email through those programs. Or give our office a call at 714-374-1988, and we have lots of products that will help you, you know, wherever you are on your path.
That's fantastic. And you know what, Siobhan, I want to thank you very much. It's an honor to have you on my show. And, I mean, what you're doing is, I think, just fantastic. It's unbelievable. It's quite blessed what you're doing. And hopefully I'd love to have you down the line again on my show. Because there's other aspects I want to talk about, but I really wanted to go into that one, your detail of your eight levels of energy. And I can't remember how you pronounce it.
Paramitas. Mm-hmm.
Paramitas. By the way, real quick, what is that name from?
It's actually Bodhisattva technology, meaning getting to the other shore. So if you've heard of Bodhisattva Mei Ling or Kuan Yin or any of those, it's really their, it's the overall technology to get bodhisattvahood.
Well, it's pretty cool. I've never heard that. It's been really quite unique, and I want to thank you for sharing that with my listeners. And with that, it's coming to a close. I know we went a little bit ahead. We were trying to regroup here on the other side here, and I close with Wedge Pipeline with California Girls, and I want to thank you all out there for listening. And again, Siobhan, I want to thank you for being on my show.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You too. God bless you all, and have a great, great weekend as well. And Hatimah Tovah.